ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. Big day in Canadian soccer. The Canadian Premier League has purchased League One Ontario. And to give us more details and to talk about this purchase, we have Dino Rossi, Commissioner of League One Ontario, joining us. Hello, Dino.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
It's good, Dino. Let's start with just a real basic question. What does this mean for League One Ontario?
Well, I think this is a great day for our league, our license holders, our players, coaches, match officials. It's everybody who works in and around our teams. It's a great opportunity for our league to come under the Canadian Premier League umbrella, to have some new investment pumped into the league, to have additional resources made available to us so we can keep growing and developing this league. Before this happened, it was very clear what our goal was, especially on the men's side. Our goal was to develop our league so that it is viewed as a obvious pathway for the best players in Ontario. And, you know, if players from the rest of the country wanted to come and take a shot at playing in League One, they're welcome to, but a pathway into the CPL. And now, as the official, development league for the CPL, it makes that pathway to the professional game for our men even more clear. But what's also super exciting is how much the CPL is keen to work with us and develop our women's league as well. This was a really big part of this this deal. They are very keen to help develop the women's game in Canada, and League One Women Division is a big part of why they were interested in making this deal.
You know what? I was going to go there because Canada under-17s play a game in 3 hours' time at the World Cup. But we are seeing the rest of the world certainly make great strides in the women's side of the game that maybe Canada arguably is not keeping up with. So a league is something that we'd all love to see here. Should those of us that want to see a league view this as a positive development towards the eventual, like I know you're not speaking for the Canadian Premier League here, but should we view this as a potential sign that this might be something that is possible down the line?
Well, I certainly can't speak for, the commissioner of the CPL and the leadership there, Paul Byrne, and all of those good folks. But from my standpoint, I really believe that one day we could have a professional level for women in Canada. What we want to do in the short run is just in continue enhancing the offering that we have through League One and open it up to the best players in Canada, make it a very high-level competition. We want to work closely with Canada Soccer, with the Women's National Program. We want to make this an important stage for the development of the best female talent in the country. We are very pleased with the quality of play that we already have, but with more emphasis and more investment in what we've been doing thus far over 4 years on the women's side, we're convinced that we can take this to another level.
Dino, I'm a bit curious if it's possible to take us behind the scenes. How did this purchase or this association started?
The League One Steering Committee, which consisted of myself, former Ontario Soccer President Ron Smale, CEO of Ontario Soccer Johnny Misley, and the Technical Director of Ontario Soccer Gary Miller. We met in July, as we normally do every year, and one of the topics of discussion on the agenda was the CPL and its impact on League One, and looking for opportunities to sit down with them and kind of plot out a future together, how we're going to coexist. The we made arrangements to meet with the people at the CPL, have a introductory discussion that snowballed into further conversations, and then not exactly sure how the conversation of would you be open to selling the league came about, but it did, and Johnny Meisley and David Clanagan from CPL, the commissioner there, forged ahead and negotiated the deal, and here we are now. It happened very quickly, and sort of from an innocent beginning, but we always hoped to be able to work very, very closely with the league because of what our mission has always been, which is to give players the opportunity to advance the higher levels of professional football. But this kind of jumped the shark a little bit and went further than what we ever expected it to be to happen. But it's all great news.
And we imagine for the players, it will be a direct pathway from the League One Ontario to the Canadian Premier League. It might be too early to look at how the infrastructures of that pathway would be, a draft or open tryouts and everything. But I'm wondering the same thing for the teams themselves. A successful team in League One Ontario, could they aspire one day to become a Canadian Premier League team? Basically, what I'm asking, is the promotion aspect to this Canadian Premier League in League One Ontario, is it possible in the future?
Anything is possible, and I can't speak for the CPL because that really is their that's their purview. What I will say to you, being very realistic about our league, the jump from operating a League One team to operating a CPL team on all levels of operations is significant. So straight promotion based on the results on the field, yeah, why not? But that's just me speaking from as a football fanatic. But from a operational reality, it would take a very big leap for a lot of our existing license holders. That said, this relationship should pave the way for establishing relationships between the CPL leadership and our license holders, and providing them a view as to what would need to happen in order for a club at our level to make that jump. I've seen comments from CPL President Paul Byrne about wanting to eventually establish a second tier. You know, it's clear, it's been in the announcements, that League One will continue to exist at the third tier of Canadian soccer, which is, it's just fine, leaving the second tier open. And my hope is that the CPL at one point does fill that with teams, whether it be regional or coast to coast, and that maybe that one day will open up the opportunity for promotion relegation, because you might have a more natural progression. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I just think that we do have some operators in our league who might have aspirations of operating at the CPL level one day. And I think this facilitates having those kinds of conversations, setting the stage for what's going to be required and doing the work necessary to make that a possibility one day.
That does take the conversation down to your level again, to the D3 level. And I know from having had a close association with the league for a couple of years, that the operations jump from just running a youth club or a local club to League One was quite large, and in some cases financially was difficult for some of these organizations that might have liked the idea of a League One team but weren't able to do it. Do you think that this arrangement will allow some of these markets that had to drop out of League One or that had to not go there in the first place, it might make it easier for them to handle that move, so that we will see more League One Ontario teams in more markets, not just in the GTA predominantly, but across this province?
Well, it's always been our goal. We have a, we have an internal document that maps out the province that and all the markets that we would like to occupy with both men's and women's teams. We've grown very quickly. We started off 5 years ago with just 10 teams on the men's side. Last year we had 17 men and 13 female teams. like in any business, you have to manage growth carefully, and we're going through, you know, we're maturing as an organization, and we're going to grow intelligently in the future. In 2019, it very well might be status quo with very little in terms of new growth. But in 2020 and beyond, we fully expect to have a strategy mapped out that will see this league move into other markets across this province. We will always have a heavy concentration in the GTA, simply because you know, it's a massive football market. There are very big clubs, but you know, you look at the success we've had in some of the outside of, you know, FC London being a great example. We'd love to replicate that FC London model in a lot of medium-sized communities throughout this province, and I'm confident that in time that will happen.
Dino, I'm going to ask you a strange question here. Do you have aspiration to, now that you're still the commissioner, we should put that out first off. I don't know if that was entirely clear to a lot of people, but David Branch is the commissioner of the Canadian Hockey League, also the commissioner of the Ontario Hockey League. Now with an association with the National League, is there any possibility that your role or someone similar to yours roles might expand in the future to include other regions of the country and not just Ontario? Is that part of the long-term plan in your mind, or is this just strictly from your perspective an Ontario-focused thing still?
Well, League One Ontario will continue to be Ontario-focused, but I've always been pretty transparent about my desire to see our model expand beyond Ontario and our friends in Quebec, because we think that there are just so many players across this country that that deserve to have this type of platform made available for them. So, you know, we will talk about this with our new leadership group as we convene in the coming weeks. And I'm sure that this kind of conversation will be up for discussion, but I can't really comment with any certainty at this point what my new bosses at the CPL, what their view on that topic is, but I'm sure it'll become clearer in the coming months.
There's going to be a lot of questioning in the next few months and weeks about the Voyagers Cup starting in the next few years, how this changes everything for League One Ontario and Canadian Premier League and all, but I want to finish this interview with you, Dino, with this question. If I am a player of the League One Ontario, what does this announcement change in my short-term future, mid-term future, or long-term future? Is my pathway to the Canadian Premier League eased a bit?
I think I think the pathway becomes a lot more clear, you know, as League One is now the official development league for the CPL. So players who are coming through the highest levels of youth soccer, be it in Ontario or in other provinces, who want to play on the stage that has been designated as that official development league, will know that there are people at the next level, at the highest level of domestic soccer in this country, who are going to be watching them, who are going to be monitoring their development, and that there will be opportunities in a variety of different ways, I envision, to get an opportunity to play professionally here. And who knows what that could mean for a talented player, a motivated player there. You know, what's to say that CPL is not a springboard to opportunities in even bigger leagues abroad? And so that's very exciting for me, and I imagine that it's got people's imaginations going for what the future holds. And you know, for female players, we're excited because we think that the CPL's keen interest in what we've built is going to mean that there's going to be greater and greater opportunities to use CPL League One as a launching pad for professional opportunities for our women. We've already had several women go abroad and do very well in professional environments, and we want to see that grow exponentially, especially without a full professional league of our own yet here in Canada. But, you know, hopefully we'll have some of those opportunities in the future to have full professional women's soccer in Canada as well.
Commissioner Dino Rossi of League One Ontario, thank you very much for your time today on this, what is probably a very busy day for you.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thank you for accommodating my schedule.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Dwayne Rollins with myself, Kevin Larme. Thanks to League One Ontario, Canadian Premier League, and Dino Rossi for their time today. Dwayne, a lot of things to unwrap from this interview, but, you know, we have the bingo card out, we did mention the promotion relegation, which, by the way, when the Canadian Premier League was announced a few months ago, it was in their plans down the road in the future to have some sort of promotion relegation part of it, maybe not a pure one like football fans are used to, but at least a pathway for the players and maybe organizations themselves to find a way into the Premier League in Canada. So no, it's a good day for the beautiful game in our country.
Well, and Dino sort of addressed the complications around a pure open pyramid in a very informed way. I mean, a lot of people that scream on the internet about pro rel don't necessarily have any association, any experience with the realities of what it means to run a soccer team, football club, however you want to put it, at that level that Dino was running it at, which would be the equivalent of a D4 team in the United States, which is where much of the screaming comes from their fans, right? They have a few more fans down there for sure, but yeah. But the financial realities of it are challenging, to say the least. They're challenging to even get to that level of, I don't know whether it's proprietary, so I won't tell. I know what the number is and how much it costs to run a League One Ontario team with the license.
I'm not aware of it, so we're talking the thing in thousands, and then there's jumps to hundreds of thousands, and then when you get to the CPL, it's millions of dollars. So there is big steps along the way.
Yeah, and even for a community club like I asked in that question, it's a big jump to get up to League One, and then it's a much bigger jump. It's exponentially bigger each step of the way, as you say. So it's just not as simple as snapping your fingers and running a good team. It there's a lot more that goes into it, stadiums, facilities. But I mean, this, I think, with the investment, says to me that the Canadian Premier League recognizes the importance of, if they want to have pro rel, if they want to have a second tier, maybe even a third tier down the line that has an open aspect to it, then they need to start the groundwork of that now. And this is part of that. This is the first step to eventually getting to promotion relegation. Yeah. It's also the first step in creating pragmatic sort of relationships and perhaps even farm kind of relationships that exist in the initial years. It wouldn't surprise me if we see some loaning down to League One. We saw a draft for the CPL draft yesterday. Not all those guys are going to make it. So maybe having this option to put them there for a while with a little bit of money, a little bit of salary attached to it. League One Ontario is semi-pro, so can pay your players in it. And I don't think anyone is, to be honest with you. There might be some stipends there, but it's mostly an amateur league at this point, just at a very high end. If you add that element of some loans down, then maybe you do really truly put the pro in the semi-pro aspect here, Kevin.
Yeah, no, and if you like hearing Dwayne and I talk about the Canadian Premier League, Canadian soccer, there will be a special edition tomorrow of the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast where we go into more depth in this news. We'll talk about the Canadian Women's World Cup U17 match from later today, and we'll talk about the U Sports Camp PL draft, which brings me to this question for you, Dwayne. Of course, it's too early for Commissioner Rossi or anyone involved to answer this question, but I'm wondering if this with this purchase, if there's going to be a draft as well, a Canadian Premier League draft with League One Ontario players. This could be one of those pathways from League One Ontario players to join the Canadian Premier League, and we could possibly see the same type of association happen with PLSQ, the Premier League de Soccer du Québec, or other future leagues of D3 across the country, which there's none right now. It's just Ontario and Quebec. But you never know. With the facilitation that has happened in Ontario, we could see this multiply across the country. But I'm wondering what you think, Dwayne. Should a draft of League One Ontario players going to Canadian Premier League happen? Basically, should we have more than just one draft for this league? U Sports, it could be one. It could be one for League One Ontario too. And then you combine them all and you make a super draft. No?
This further before I get into answer that question, I'm going to make something clear. This is not coming from any single source, what I'm about to say. This is rather a all of the opinions over many years that I have spoken to about how that movement would happen between League One or the PLSQ or a future D3 league that exists in other parts of the country. I do know that a lot of the preference of those that run those type of teams is to create more of a global market situation than a draft situation. That is to say that they'd want some transfer money. I suspect that there was part of this negotiation included how to deal with team with players moving between the levels, and then we'll find out as much as they want us to find out about that in the days ahead. I suspect that there will be the names escape me, some sell-on fees included in that. I forget the name of the term right now.
Solidarity fees.
So thank you. That's, I just couldn't get that in my head right now. I suspect the solidarity fees were included in this negotiation as well. And that is a big way that a lot of these the 74 teams have sort of set themselves up as a long-term plan to eventually become profitable. It's certainly how Sigma runs. I don't know. I think that there'll be some kind of level of sharing and growing together that goes in here. And maybe that includes, you know, not having direct transfers that are paid between these leagues, but rather
a percentage of
financials.
Yeah, like a percentage of future, what we call that name escapes me now, but when you play FIFA, when you manage your team in FIFA and you buy a sell-on fee. A sell-on fee that you can have. Example, if a League One Ontario player moves to Canadian Premier League, they can agree that not 5% or 10% of his future selling clause will go back to that League One Ontario team and trickle down the money to really help the association, which we see association because in League One Ontario, as the case in the pre-PLSQ, the teams represent their region or their municipalities or the soccer association of the municipality or a few ones that got together. So that's why we use the word association when we describe teams, because most of the teams in League One Ontario and Premier League Soccer du Québec are representative, their association in a way.
Yeah, and just there are a few teams within L1O that are they're called something United, and in this particular case, it's not derivative. They are actually United teams that are bringing multiple clubs together into a single team. So they actually mean that in this particular case. It's not just a nickname trying to piggyback onto the rest of the world.
They're not trying to be cute. They literally are United.
Yeah, well, Durham United is a club that they had to drop out on the men's side this year, have a very successful female team, and it's a couple clubs in the Durham region that have come together to create one super club within that region, and they call themselves Durham United, and I had a lot of dealings with them when I worked in League One, so I knew them, know them well, and it's a very good program that, you know, is for those that want to have automatic pro rel, to go back to my original point, simply won't have the resources at this particular point because they draw three people a game. You know, like, and I mean, if you live in Durham and you wish that were different, then go to the games. Anyway, that's a quick aside.
That's true.
but yeah, this is a good movie. You know, the reason I asked the female question second is, like, I think that is the sneaky good news about this that jumps out the most, is that there is a women's league, there's established women's league, the highest level of women's leagues in this country right now, I would think, unless, you know, you can make arguments with the CIS or U-Sport.
But PLSQ has its own as well, too. So there's two leagues of women's soccer right now in Canada, which are associated and federated with their provincial entities. It's League One Ontario Women and PLSQ Women. And if the same thing happens with the Ontario soccer that happens in Quebec, which I have my doubt it's going to be as easy, because the bridges are a bit longer and a bit longer to cross, if you know what I mean, with the Quebec Soccer Federation. But I imagine this landmark association between League One Ontario and Ontario Soccer and Canadian Premier League is just the first of a few. And it might truly be the best thing for the women's game, like you mentioned, because you can get a few of those teams to band together and create a few teams for the Canadian Premier League, same in Quebec, and you got yourself maybe 5-6 teams, and you got yourself the backbone of a league already.
Yeah, I think we're a few years away, more than people would like in terms of a women's league, maybe 4 or 5, but I think it's only 4 or 5, and I think the first step might be, now you have this league that's under the umbrella of of a league, of the Canadian Premier League, the one really easy thing that they can do is they can emulate the Voyageurs Cup on the women's side, which I have been an advocate for a long time, and you include the PLSQ teams in there somehow as well. If it's a series between the PLSQ champions and League One Ontario champions, then great, you can do that. Call it the Voyageurs Cup, call it whatever you want, call it the whatever cup, you put a name on it, and just make it a true Canadian championship in the same way that the men's championship is, and you get the same kind of marketing and support behind it. And I think that's a really simple first step you can do to create that league. And it does then start to identify, it gives you something to aspire to. It's the first step along the way to let these clubs know that maybe there is a chance down the line that these clubs can get big. Because I've seen what I've seen in League One, Kevin, is that some of the programs that are really, really good on the women's side have decided to sort of specialize in it in many ways. So I think you ultimately might see different clubs evolve yep. on the female side of the game that aren't necessarily on the men's side of the game. So that's why I'm not necessarily...
Sorry to interrupt, Wayne. I didn't mean to. But we see the same thing here in Quebec, too. Some of the actual opposite. Some Premier League women teams started, and then they got a men's team after. I'm talking about Malta here in Laval, which they had a women team first, and then they realized, you know what, we like this, we can do this, let's add a men team to it. So no, I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah, and it, exactly. And Unionville, the Unionville club that's produced a lot of players that are in the under 17s that are 20s Canadian side over the years, they certainly would be one option there in terms of creating that. And look, women's soccer in Ontario is booming at that level. So I didn't say women's, I said girls soccer. Like, there's huge memberships, great skill level going on there. So to have this opportunity to build this even more is a wonderful sort of story that I think is going to get undersold in terms of what this means for the men. But as I said all along, as much as I'm a huge advocate, I watched five women's soccer games in the last 2 days, so no one will ever accuse me of not watching and putting my money where my mouth is when it comes to women's soccer.
I watched New Zealand versus Finland yesterday. It was what a goal by New Zealand in the Women's World Cup U17 on TSN.
Yes, and the USA, Scotland only lost 1-0 to the big Americans, and that creates an interesting conversation about what that means. Scotland has about a 25% chance that Scotland will be in Canada's group next year in France. So
yeah,
that's scarified me. But anyway, but put it aside, what I'm saying is that as much as I am an advocate for it, I'm also a realist. And I realize that the best way forward for a women's professional league in this country is to establish the groundwork first to create the momentum for it. You have to be very meticulous along the way about how you create this. You can't snap your fingers and make it happen, just like you couldn't snap your fingers and make the men's league happen. You still can't snap your fingers and make the men's league a success. Force of will is getting it there right now. The next step is going to be huge, and it would be, I think, suicide to just jump in with both genders off the top. And unfortunately, our society dictates that we have to go in with the men first. I'm not justifying that. I'm just observing it.
And, you know, the way the League One Ontario got to exist in 2014, a year later that they were supposed to, because they wanted to start in good foundation, is very similar to how the Canadian Premier League is starting itself too. And down the road, 2-3 years after their first launch, you had League One Ontario adding the women's program and be able to focus on both. So the growth of the League One Ontario and the experience of those operational staff will probably translate to a similar blueprint in the Canadian Premier League at a bigger scale, and that's a positive. You better start slowly and build on good foundation than start really big and have those foundations crumble quickly.
Yeah. Look, today's news is one for the geeks. There's no doubt about it. This is deep in the weeds. This show is about deep in the weeds, though. Like, we could rename it Deep in the Weeds.
You're just talking about everything I love. But no, I agree. But you know what, though? The reaction from people I've seen so far, it gave the Canadian Premier League a bit more serious to it. Like, oh, they're actually serious about this. They actually know what they're doing, and this is a big move. The perception of journalists across the board that covers Major League Soccer and covers soccer from different countries now sees the Canadian Premier League in a different light just because of this purchase today.
Yes, and I think that Paul Byrne and the business folks at the Canadian Premier League understand the value of getting the Canadian Premier League into games like Football Manager. So this is one step closer to me being able to play a Football Manager with the League One Ontario team. So that's something that excites me too.
By the way, Football Manager, I'm still shocked that I was in last year's game when a listener sent me a screen capture of me commentating on a Canadian Premier League team and transfers, and I was like, oh wow, I'm actually in the game. I'm famous. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's fun. I was in one of the editions a while back too. Yeah, it's neat. I have that somewhere, screen capture somewhere. But nonetheless, no, that's a bit silly. But that said, you know, to make that serious for a second, this news might get more attention. Not thank you, but more attention media-wise, local media-wise for the League One Ontario teams. They legitimize them more. Now people go, oh, it really is the OHL or the CHL of Canadian soccer, because before, you know, I had to explain it that way to people, but they didn't know it that way. Now it's instinctive. It's understandable that that's what this is.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll keep an eye tonight at 5 p.m. on TSN, Canada versus Colombia in the Women's Under-17 World Cup. We'll be back tomorrow with the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, which you can subscribe to on Patreon, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. We'll continue to talk about the ramifications of League One Ontario, the Canadian Premier League. We'll break down the U Sports CPL draft tomorrow as well. And we'll give our thoughts on the players who were selected, the ones that we know, the ones that what we expect. And there's a lot of rumors just being weeks away from players being signed. So, Dwayne, we'll be back tomorrow.
We absolutely will, and this is so exciting right now. Like, this is last thoughts, Kevin, before this, and I don't mean to bash MLS when I say this, but one of the things I've said all along is that the great advantage that the Canadian Premier League has is that it is so damn far behind, in that they can then look at all of the good things that MLS did and all of the bad things that MLS did and figure out how to do it better. And this is an example of that, today's news. This is something MLS should have done in 1996, but no one was thinking that way then.
No, they did it a few years ago.
Here we are.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say they did it a few years ago when they partnered up with the USL, which what we're seeing today is a bit the Canadian equivalent of MLS-USL partnership, just in a different way. And we might see others. So I'm expecting maybe in a year's time or less where the Canadian Premier League will partner up with the Fédération Soccer du Québec. Well, at least I hope. And we'll see if that happens. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame, and at Soccer Today SPN for the live Twitter shows that we have every single day. Tomorrow, Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. We might have a little bit of a teaser to begin the show, and the rest of the show will be available on podcast at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork for $2 a month. We thank you for your patronage. And as always, until next time, I'm Kevin Larame for Dwayne Rollins. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.